This summer I spent several storm-bound days in Weymouth, where the Royal Dorset Yacht Club opens its doors to all who sail the sea for what we idly categorise as pleasure. I've taken my victuals in many historic clubhouses over the years, but only in the hospitable Royal Dorset have I sat with my humble pint close enough to the enormous racing flag of the old King's Britannia to reach out and touch the thin glass that's all that separates it from me and my companions. Mounted alongside this historic pennant is Britannia's Burgee from her glory days with Bertie, the Prince of Wales. The mighty feathers of his crest are as fresh as the day they were embroidered, and the stern Ich Dien leaves the observer contemplating the conundrum so perfectly lived out by the present prince's mother a century later. To rule with dignity is also to serve. Around the walls of the bar are what the casual visitor might dismiss as the usual sepia photographs from the golden age of the huge gaff cutters, racing hard before 1914 blotted them out. But these are not a random set of shots, recently bought in to cover the gaps in the plaster. These are images held by the club since the era when the great yachts came down to Weymouth to race in the bay with their professional crews and charismatic owners, led by the Prince himself in his ebony black mould-breaking masterpiece. Connoisseurs of sail technology looking more closely at these thrilling images will note that while all the yachts have cotton sails beautifully cut from so uncompromising a material, Britannia's appear to have been sewn by the Archangel Gabriel himself. So immaculate are their cambers, and so free of creases their clues. Further along the wall is a rather different frame, well set up to capture the attention of mariners whose interests lean towards the history of navigation. It contains an original antique chart of the Dorset coast from Portland to Anvil Point, including St Albans Head with its famous tide race. Slightly foxed from the incipient damp of what I like to imagine is some Nelsonian warship's chart drawers, it still shines out as a thing of beauty, as well as the bearer of solid data. It features views of the coast, drawn with artistic merit and sureness of detail by some long-forgotten lieutenant. These cameos used to be standard fare on nautical charts. Those of us who once plotted our courses on the monochrome fathom charts of 30 years back will remember them with nostalgia. Like the paper charts executed by a cartographer, as opposed to their vector equivalents, these views tell so much more than an unadorned photograph. The artist subtly picks out the important features so that the user knows exactly what to look for. The views on this chart are particularly fine, but what really caught my attention was the note in the bottom corner about the tidal streams. In the Yachting Monthly, there's a photograph which I snapped, and as I snapped it, I pondered its meaning. It had a lot of information on it that related not to tide tables, but to other matters altogether. And what it suggested to me was that the man who made these statements was writing for sailors who had no access to tide tables as we know them. He referred instead to the moon and to an observable high water as their datum points. All of us who've sailed our local waters for long enough know that this is perfectly possible. In my home river, the Bewley, when the moon is a day or two after full, or the brand new high water, falls around local noon, and we have a spring tide. If we have a spring tide, the 6-hour ebb will begin off the bar at around 1100 or 2300. Neaps come immediately after half moon at 0600 and so on. Just like the chap who wrote the details on this chart, sailors operated on such criteria from the dawn of time until comparatively recently. In Britannia's heyday, her sailing master would certainly have had tide tables more or less as we know them, but the rough-handed fishermen who were his racing crew never bothered with such things. They had no need. These men of the sea read the elements and the heavens. They thought no more about it than me digging in my pocket for a second pint, in a club whose friendship gave me so much more than I ever expected.